monthly bank accounts before we ever settled here. No one's ever going to find my real books, Code said. But I put enough firewalls and other protections in to make it look like I thought I had something to protect in case anyone came looking. Mostly I thought the feds would look our way at some point. Our paperwork is impeccable and will hold up under any scrutiny, Steele said. How did Randall find Anya? She's memorable. A beautiful woman like Anya? People notice, Code said. He started flashing her picture around and eventually found the man she bought that piece of shit car from. Then it was a matter of tracking gas stations she visited, again, just by showing her photograph to the attendants. Randall arrived a couple of days ago, saw her with his own eyes, and confirmed with the ghosts that he'd found her. They sent the Burroughs brothers. Where are they now? Reaper asked. All three are checked into rooms at a motel in Fort Bragg, Code replied. Czar tapped his fingers on the table, an indication that his brain was already putting together the pieces of the problem and working through it. They're probably waiting for tonight. They'll check to see if she's in the bar, and we'll try to make their move if she goes outside alone. Code cleared his throat and glanced again uneasily at Reaper. I read through all the email exchanges. They're in code, but the encryption is pathetic. Easy to break. They aren't going to kill her clean. The ghosts want an example made of her. They want the Burroughs brothers to spend time with her and slice her up, keeping her alive as long as possible. Reaper started to rise. He'd go now, kill both fuckers and leave their bodies in plain sight so the ghosts knew he'd declared war. Czar waved him to his seat. This one is for your woman, and we want to do it right. We want her protected, even after we kill them. Otherwise, the ghosts are going to just keep coming after her. He waited until Reaper slowly sank into the chair. Who do we have on Anya and Blythe now? Steele asked. He knew, but it was important that Reaper remember both women were being guarded. Gavriel and Casimir in the house, and Fateh and Glitch, Reaper replied, naming the two newest patched members as well as two of the prospects, all who had attended at least one of the four schools in Russia. He reached for the bottle of water sitting in front of him and downed half of it. All four were good men, but he wanted to be looking out for Anya himself. Czar nodded. The Burroughses won't make their move on Anya until they know she's alone and they have time to spend with her. Reaper's fingers curled into two tight fists. They aren't going to get the chance. If you're thinking of using her as bait... Czar lifted his head and their eyes met, piercing, angry, two bulls ready to charge each other. The room went dead silent. Get your fucking head out of your ass, Reaper, Czar hissed. You think I don't know I totally fucked up? You think I don't know I'm responsible for hurting a woman? Not just any woman, your woman? My brother's woman? I know you're fighting to keep her, and that's on me. She couldn't even look at me. I don't blame her. I take what we did squarely on my shoulders. Coming at me isn't going to help. I'm not so sure, Reaper snapped, standing. You went home to your woman. She's still in your bed, safe and secure. You have that. I don't. Mine's ready to walk, and there's not a fucking thing I can do or say that so far is changing her mind. Czar stood, too. You're not going to make me feel any worse than I already do. We can beat each other if that's what you want, but the truth is, you want someone to punch, and you want someone to punch you. You like to inflict pain when you're pissed, and you like to take it. We can do that, and be two utterly selfish bastards, or we can figure out how to keep your woman safe and get rid of these ghosts so they don't keep coming at her. Reaper knew every word was the truth. He didn't have to like having Czar call him on his shit, but he had to do the right thing for Anya. He sank down into the chair and reached for the water bottle, downing the rest to give the adrenaline time to recede. We have Hammer's wife to get out of there as well. We're going to have to make our move fast to pull her out, especially after we kill the hitmen coming after Anya. I want Randall alive, if possible. We need as much information as we can get from him. Elena, you're on that. Once she leads him close, Storm, you and Ice secure him and put him in the chamber. He can yell his fucking head off and no one will hear him. That will give us time to get down to San Francisco and get Hammer's woman before we have to deal with him. We still don't know what we're looking at once we get down there, Transporter said. Do we take the bikes or one of the vans? I'll need to know how to prep the vehicles. Weapons, tools, paper to cover everything in case we get stopped. I need information to have a place to start. Mechanic nodded. We'll be going in blind, and if I don't bring the right tools for the job, they'll kill her for certain. There was silence. It was imperative they have information, but getting it was going to be a problem. Absinthe rubbed at a spot on the table, glanced warily at Reaper, and then sighed. Looking down at the tabletop, he spoke in a low voice. Anya might be able to tell us how to get through those tunnels. She can tell us how, at least. She said she was looking at blueprints of tunnels under the building. Absinthe, Czar said quietly, you were acting under my orders. Doesn't make it any easier. If she hadn't fought you, and I didn't expect her to, Czar admitted, she would have been fine. I thought she'd answer the questions and we'd walk out of there without incident. I misjudged the situation because I was so blind, wanting Blythe safe. What happened isn't on you. It was my call. No, Steele said. It's on all of us. We could have insisted on a vote and stopped it. We could have spoken out and sided with Reaper. We had options. Reaper could have told us all to go to hell and walked out with her. No one can stop him if he doesn't want to be stopped. Reaper took a breath. That reality was a hard punch in the gut. Harder still because he knew Anya was well aware of it. He had chosen the club over her. He'd put Czar's protection above hers. He's right, Czar, Reaper had to admit, but it won't happen again. If she takes me back, I'm going to fight for her. You all might as well know that up front. I think you've made that pretty clear, Czar said. Absinthe, I have to admit, I was more focused on Anya's state of mind than what she was saying. I absorb and can recall verbatim, Absinthe said. You, better than anyone, know it was necessary to know exactly what an adult said, what they were planning, the times, the routes, everything. You trained me to hone that ability, but I trained myself to listen and sort of record what was said. Preacher nodded. She did say she was looking at blueprints. I hate this. I hate this for her and for you, Reaper, for all of us. We took the easiest and fastest route available to us to get the information we needed. She was innocent. We didn't know that, Steele said. We can beat ourselves up or make her safe and get this other woman safe. It isn't going to matter if you get her to stay with you if she ends up dead. That was Steele, the voice of reason. That was why he was Czar's VP. When the rest of them were out of sync, he managed to bring them back together. We need to find out just how much of those tunnels Anya remembers. Will she help us, Reaper? Czar asked, going straight to the point. If she wouldn't, he'd have to find another way to rescue Hammer's woman, yet still keep his men as safe as possible. I'm not going to say she isn't hurt, and pissed. She's holding it tight, but it's there. None of us are her favorite people right now, me included, Reaper said. But she asked about the woman a couple of times. I can't imagine her leaving another woman in the hands of these ghosts, especially after seeing their handiwork. She told me when they're wearing suits, they always wear little gold cufflinks in the shape of ghosts. Elena and I can head down to the club to try to get information, Lana offered. If we establish ourselves, we can be in a position to back you up. If we go in first, two tourists just checking out the club, we'll be of more help. I could follow them up, Mechanic added. I can get the place wired as fast as possible. We could get lucky and get something to help. In any case, I'd be there if they get in trouble. Elena snorted. Not likely. Lana flashed a small smile. Just yell if you need us to bail your ass out. We'll come running and save the day. Mechanic flipped her off. Czar ignored the byplay. We'll need you, Elena, to pull in Randall for us before the two of you go. Take the BMW. It's fast. Transporter and Mechanic swear that thing is a rocket now. It has all the compartments needed for weapons. The two of you look like you were born for a convertible. It will cost enough to give you the clout to get in, but not so much as to put you under suspicion. If you take enough cash, you might even see their casino. Don't push. That's not necessary. Reaper, we need to do this as fast as possible. I don't think Hammer's woman has much time left, regardless that they gave him a week to get the money together. They want to make a statement to the Diamondbacks. They want them to know they're serious. If they can make the Diamondbacks worry about their women, they have a pipeline all over the country. Remember, the ghosts think they're just that. Ghosts. They have no idea we're on to them. Reaper was aware the rest of the club members were looking at him, expecting him to pull his woman in with them. His heart sank. They had no idea the extent of their betrayal. She wasn't like them. She wasn't like Blythe, who hadn't had a decent beginning, but had found a family with five other women, sisters who loved her. Anya had no one. I think she'll tell us about the tunnels.
But she isn't going to stay, is she?
Lana pressed. Reaper shook his head. I don't think so, no. Maybe Blythe was able to persuade her to give us another chance, Zar said. Maybe. Reaper was afraid to hope. If she'll talk to us, Reaper, bring her into the common room, Zar said. We'll be less threatening to her there.
I'll make certain to get her clothes to her, Elena said. She probably feels vulnerable without them.
She can't go anywhere if she doesn't have clothes, Ice pointed out. Elena glared at him.
We can't keep her prisoner.
Why not? Ice asked. He only needs a few weeks to convince her to stay. If nothing else, knock her up. We're supposed to have been trained to be the best at sex there is. If we can't use it to keep our women, then what good is it?
He's got a point, Storm said.
I could convince her to stay for you, Reaper, if you don't think you're up to the task. Fuck you, Storm. I'd stick a knife through your heart and pin you to the wall. Storm shrugged. Just trying to help a brother out.
Reaper felt a little better. His brothers were there, at his back, trying to come up with ideas for him to keep Anya, joking to bring them all back together behind him. Solid. He just knew better. He knew it wasn't going to be that easy with Anya. Still, he nodded and pushed himself away from the table. He made his way into the common room and then down the hall. Blythe was sitting in the dark, and she looked up when he entered.
She's been sleeping for a long time.
She took a deep breath and shook her head.
She's holding herself together, but just barely. Be gentle with her, Reaper.
He nodded and watched her go. He didn't know how to be gentle. He'd never learned. He didn't even know what that meant. Elena stuck her head in, folded clothes in her hands. He took them and shut the door to keep everyone out. He needed to talk to Anya again, to feel her out, see if she would help and tell her she had to stay. He needed her to stay. He stood over her, looking down at her face. She thought him a fallen angel. He thought maybe she was one that had fallen into hell accidentally.
You're staring at me. I can feel it.
Her voice was a drowsy murmur that got him right in the cock. Shit. It was so much worse than that. She'd gotten to his heart somehow, and it wasn't going away.
So you're awake?
My radar goes off when you're around.
He didn't know if that was good or bad, and he wasn't asking. He only knew he was contemplating just how wrong it would be to follow Ice's plan. She opened her eyes and caught him. Very slowly she pushed herself into a sitting position, never taking her gaze from his.
What are you thinking? Because I can tell you think I won't like it, but you're going to do it anyway.
What the fuck? He was supposed to be the man no one could read. She was seeing too much of him, and that wasn't a good thing and never would be. He was the club's enforcer. That meant while they all had other legitimate jobs, he had just one, to keep the club safe in any way necessary. The others might be climbing out of their old life, but he never would. He knew it was too late for him anyway.
Elena brought you some clothes. Do you feel up to getting dressed? We can try a light to see if your headache gets worse.
No, really, it's so much better. She threw back the covers and reached for her clothes, almost hugging them to her. He didn't like that either. His woman was up to something, like running from him. More and more, Ice's idea seemed like a good one, maybe the only one. He turned on the dimmest light first, watching her face to see if she flinched. Her lashes fluttered, but her expression didn't change. At least that was something. He didn't want her in pain. "I'll get dressed in the bathroom, and then you can tell me what this meeting was all about. Get dressed here." He moved subtly, shifting his body just enough to put him in front of the closed door. What the hell was wrong with him? Was he really thinking he could keep her there if she wanted to go? He knew better, but he didn't move. She studied his face, shrugged, pulled on the lacy little boy short panties and then her jeans. "They told you at the meeting that those three men were after me, right?" She looked around. "There's no bra here." "Elena hurried to get your clothes. She must have forgotten." He crossed his arms over his chest and leaned back against the door. He could look at her all day. He watched her unbutton his flannel, his gaze glued to her bare skin. She sighed and pulled the tank top over her head. The material settled lovingly over her curves. She looked down at the cleavage showing, and then around the room as if there was something else she might be able to wear. "You look beautiful." "You would say I look beautiful if I was wearing a burlap sack." "I would think it, too." Her gaze flicked to him, the faintest ghost of a smile in her eyes. He liked that. He needed it. Something. Anything to show she might want to stay with him. Anya pulled on his flannel. "I think this shirt is going to grow on my skin soon. Where are my shoes?" "Not sure, baby. Is it important right this minute? Got things to discuss with you." She tipped her head up, eyes going to his. "Let's discuss." "The others are waiting out in the common room. They have information." She shook her head. "Absolutely not. I don't need their information. You tell me what I need to know. Anything else, I don't want to know." He shrugged, although his gut knotted tight. She wasn't going to stay. The vehemence in her voice convinced him of that. He'd need a plan to try to keep her close to him. He needed time with her, just like Ice had said. "One of the three men in the bar last night is a private investigator on retainer for the Ghost Club. He tracked you here. He found the man you bought the car from using your photograph. You're beautiful, and people remembered seeing you." She shook her head and reached back to braid her hair while he talked. He could sit and watch that shit for hours. The action lifted her breasts beneath the open flannel. He could see the movement of both breasts. Her hands were quick and sure, as if she'd performed the task countless times and was on automatic pilot. "Stop looking at me like that. It's distracting." He fucking loved that. It was the first real sign of encouragement. "Can't help myself, baby. Can't help what you do to me. Stay on track. The jerk followed me here and brought those other two. Hitmen. They're working for the club. Code got into their exchange of emails. They were encrypted, but he's a genius with that sort of thing, which is why we call him Code." She swallowed hard and moved around the bed to grab a tie off the nightstand and secured her braid with it. She looked scared, so much so that he crossed the room, stepped in close and curled his hand around the nape of her neck. Possessive. Claiming, because Anya fucking belonged to him, whether she knew it or not, and he was going to find a way to make certain she knew just whose woman she was. He'd had enough of being anxious. Reaper had taken what he needed to survive his entire life. He looked down at her, his gaze drifting over her face, her eyes, that mouth that belonged to him. He was through thinking she was getting away from him because she wasn't. He leaned down and took her mouth. Fire exploded in his belly. Her lips were soft, her mouth sweet and addicting. The minute he demanded it, she opened for him and gave him what he needed. He wrapped his arm around her back and yanked her up against him, kissing her over and over until he couldn't see straight, until he knew she would give him anything he asked for, and his world was right again. When he lifted his head, he stroked the pad of his thumb down her face, slid it over her lips and pressed it there on that bottom curve. No need to worry about the two of them. We're working on a plan. I need you to tell me if you have those blueprints you were looking at memorized, the ones that got you into so much trouble.
The blueprints? She echoed.
I thought they came after me because I overheard them talking about having someone by the balls. It was most likely both. We think they're holding that woman they kidnapped down there. We need to get her out of there, baby, or she's going to die. Immediately her shoulders straightened, and she nodded.
Of course, Reaper. I'll tell you whatever I can. I have a good memory.
I'd like the others there. We work together, and each of us needs to know different things. She was silent, staring up at him. He could see he was losing her, and that just pissed him off. He refused to feel fear. He had to take control of the situation the way he always did. He refused to allow her freedom when she tried to pull away, to put distance between them.
Woman, I know fucking well my taste is still in your mouth, yet you're going to act like it isn't. I gave you my word, my fucking word, that you would be safe with them. I know you were listening. You lay right on that bed, and you heard me promise I'd protect you from anyone, everyone, even the club. You kiss me like that, and then act like I'm not your man?
Her lashes blinked rapidly, and there appeared to be droplets on them. She took a breath and then tried again to push him away. She wasn't nearly as strong as he was, and he held her still.
This isn't easy for me, Reaper. I don't trust them. You're one man against how many?
He let his eyes go flat and cold, calling up the dangerous demon inside of him, the one that kept Czar and the others alive and continued to do so. He gave her that because she needed it, needed to see that he would do the same for her.
They know better.
She shivered, swallowed hard, studied his face for a long time. He didn't flinch or look away. He wanted her to know what she was getting into with him. He was watching her as closely as she was watching him, so he saw the moment when she accepted who he was, what he was. Hopefully, she believed he would be that killer for her if needed.
Fine. I'll go. But if they try anything with their questions, I swear, I'm getting a gun and shooting you.
Think there should be only one bloodthirsty person in our family, babe, and you're not near mean enough.
I wouldn't test that theory if I were you, she cautioned.
She tried to give him the evil eye. He thought she looked cute, but decided it might not be wise to say so. His woman was getting back to herself without the bitch of a headache. He bent his head and took her mouth again. When she sassed him, he figured it was the best way to mellow her out. Just like before, she ignited without reservation, her body melting into his, all soft against his hard. His hand slipped down her back, tracing that curve to the sweet ass he thought way too much about when he should be thinking about business. He kissed his way down her chin, along her jaw to her ear. He caught the lobe between his teeth and tugged gently.
"You still thinking about running from me?"
He whispered the question, his breath warm in her ear, his lips brushing against the little shell that sometimes drove him nuts.
"Yes,"
she answered without hesitation, breathless, her breasts rising and falling with her ragged breathing, nipples pushing hard against the tank she wore. He swatted her hard enough to make her yelp.
"Well, stop. Solutions, babe, not running. That's what should be going on in that fucked-up head of yours."
He figured he'd handle her with kid gloves, at least to the best of his ability. He'd tried gentle, just like Blythe said, but he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. She'd fallen for Reaper. He was back to the Reaper he knew best, and that man wasn't going to lose his woman. He'd find a way. If he couldn't think of a solution, his club would help him. She glared at him.
"My head isn't fucked up. Your club is fucked up. And stop saying fuck to me. It's annoying."
He shrugged. "Just a word, Anya.
It isn't a nice word.
It's just a word." He took her hand and tugged until she was under his shoulder.
"I'm barefoot.
You're stalling. The floor's clean. Club girls keep it scrubbed."
"Club girls? Sheesh."
Reaper, you certainly want me to accept a lot of bullshit. I'm not sure what I'm going to get out of it.
That brought him up short because it was the truth. He stepped in front of her, close, caught her chin with his thumb and finger, lifting so she was forced to look in his eyes.
I swear to you, on my life, on the lives of my brothers, you'll be happy. You'll be safe.
He didn't know what else to say. He'd spend a lifetime making her happy, but he knew he was a poor bet for a lifetime. He knew Jack about a real relationship, and no matter how hard he tried, he was going to fuck it up big time. She'd need patience and tolerance, and she'd need to want to stay.
"I'm trying," she said softly.
He knew that was the best he was going to get. He pulled open the door and walked her out of the bedroom, into the hall. She tensed up immediately.
"Don't worry, Anya. They'll be cool with you."
"Worry about them, not me," she muttered under her breath. He glanced down at the top of her head. Her hair was always glossy, shiny, gorgeous. "Just play nice." He knew that would get a rise out of her. She was back to herself. His woman had courage. She wouldn't have been able to pull herself up out of the streets and carve a life for herself if she didn't have discipline, determination, and sheer guts. He had those things. All his brothers and sisters did. That was how they'd survived. That and working together. She'd done it on her own, and he respected her for what she'd accomplished.
"Play nice," she hissed, glaring up at him. "You play nice. They do one thing, say one thing I don't like, and all bets are off."
"Got to fuck you again hard, woman. Only thing that mellows you out." Her breath hissed out of her lungs.
"Well, maybe you should. But you lost that chance, hanging with your nasty brothers and club girls, didn't you?"
He smiled. He couldn't help it. It wasn't the greatest smile in the world, because he didn't have a lot of practice at it. And his mouth quirked more than smiled. But he felt it in his gut. Happiness bloomed, the way it had done almost from the moment he'd laid eyes on her. Certainly from the moment he'd seen her give away her blanket to a homeless man. Anya stopped dead, just outside the open door to the common room. The club obviously heard them coming, because all conversation ceased. She touched his lips with her fingertips, her eyes wide.
"I've never seen you do that before."
She probably hadn't. He hadn't had much to smile about, until her. He'd actually sat in a bed naked, holding her, and hadn't had one ugly thought. Maybe it had been the fear of losing her that had prevented the triggers from his past from rearing up. "Don't do it very often, baby, but can't help myself around you." And that was the fucking truth. He pulled her finger into his mouth and bit down gently and then let her go. She looked up at him wide-eyed, soft, that look in her eyes he was waiting for, the one that turned him inside out and set a fire roaring in his belly. He glanced over her head to the others, his family waiting for him, even more shocked than Anya that he had smiled, or given what passed for one. Lana was there, and she smiled back at him and gave him the thumbs up. She and Elena had located the jacket for Anya, as he'd requested, and added the necessary patches. He'd been planning for this moment long before he'd ever spoken to her at the bar. He'd warred with himself, trying to save her, but somewhere deep down, he knew he wasn't going to let her go, even back then. He just had to get Anya to accept that final assurance. Today, tonight. She had to commit before he took off to help rescue Hammer's old lady. He had to go. He didn't have a choice, and he needed that promise from her before he left with the others. Reaper took her hand again, tucked it in close to his chest, and walked right into the common room. No one else was there but the fully patched members. Gavriel and Casimir were to the back, standing by the door. On the outside would be the prospects, making certain no one came close enough to overhear. Ordinarily, they would never conduct an important meeting outside the chapel, their private meeting room, but Anya would have been far too uncomfortable. The common room was open and would give her a sense of ease, they hoped. Anya went stiff the moment she faced them all. They'd spread out, taking seats at the smaller tables,
some of them on the couches or in the more comfortable chairs in order to make her feel the meeting was informal and she was a part of it. Reaper slid his arm around her waist.
Before we get started, I want everyone in this room to know I'm claiming Anya for my old lady. Lana has her jacket.
To an outsider, that wouldn't mean anything. To the club, it meant everything. Anya, in their world, was his wife. The woman he chose to put on the back of his bike. In Reaper's case, he hadn't ever put a woman on his bike until Anya. He just said he would be responsible for her, and that every member of the club had the responsibility of protecting her, just as they would any other club member. Anya glanced up at him, frowning. She wasn't familiar with their world, and only Czar had an old lady. Blythe rarely was in the clubhouse. Mostly, they went to Czar's home for their barbecues. She came to their parties at the clubhouse, but left early with Czar. Sometimes she rode on his bike, but it was usually when they wanted to run off together. Anya couldn't know exactly what it meant, but she'd find out soon enough. Czar stood up slowly. He walked toward them, looking in complete command, the way he normally did. The closer he got, the stiffer Anya got. Her chin was up, green eyes glittering like gems. She was royally pissed at Czar, at the club. Reaper had no idea why she had softened toward him, but she had, and he was taking advantage while he could.
"Are you certain that's what you want, Anya? Do you even know what that means when he tells his club members that you're his old lady? It's a huge commitment."
Anya stepped closer to Reaper as if for protection. He felt her slide one hand into his back pocket, her fingers curling into a tight fist.
"It isn't your business if Reaper makes me his old lady. You don't have a say in my life."
The room went electric, wired, silent as hell. Reaper's heart dropped. Czar was president of Torpedo, Inc. He had a say in every club member's life. He saw the same knowledge on Czar's face that was on every member's face.
"Honey."
Czar's voice was very gentle and very patient. "Saying that just goes to show you don't understand what you're getting yourself into. By accepting Reaper, you're accepting all of us, including my leadership. You're good for Reaper, for all of us, but we have to be fair here. You have to understand exactly what being part of us means. I don't have to do anything with the people who took me to their interrogation room and put me through hell in order to be with Reaper." Anya stated it firmly.
"Reaper."
Czar shook his head, regret in his voice. Reaper's stomach clenched. He felt, rather than saw, Anya look up at him. She knew something was wrong from the way everyone in the room sat or stood frozen, expressions of pure alarm on their faces. He was certain his countenance had the same look. Time tunneled. His brothers and sisters, his colors, his way of life. He was torn in half, wrenched apart. He didn't know how to live without them. More than 30 years. All the pain, suffering, the kills, the shared food they'd cut so carefully into equal portions, images of screaming children, of ugly, vile men and women coming at him when there was no defense. Czar comforting him, whispering there was hope. They would find a way. It all came down to this. Czar had led them here to make them human again, to force them to be better people. Half animal, all killer, they had choices now. Reaper looked down at the woman holding so tightly to him. She brought him more than natural releases. She'd brought him something close to happiness.
"You once said to me, Czar, that if you had to make a choice, if we couldn't accept Blythe into our family equally, with all the rest of us, that you would stay with her while we moved on. Not accepting Anya gives me no choice. I go with her."
Anya heard Reaper say the words, looked at his face and knew he meant it. Heart pounding, she felt triumph burst through her. Czar was an asshole, a complete bastard to subject her to his inquisition. Reaper had chosen her. His arm nearly crushed her. She looked up at his face a second time and everything in her stilled. He was choosing her, but he was being torn apart in doing so.
It isn't the same, Reaper. We accept her. She refuses to see us, to get to know us. We're your fucking family, and she's shutting us out because of one mistake. Think about that. What could happen? Because you're going to make mistakes, brother. You'll make a million of them.
Anya. There was a note close to a plea. We're his family. We want to be yours.
Zar's eyes met Anya's. She felt the impact right down to her toes. He wasn't angry. He was ravaged, destroyed, in pain. She looked from him to the others. Savage had risen to his feet and moved subtly, coming to stand near his brother. Ice and Storm had done the same. Lana clutched a jacket in her hands, all but crushing the material, her face showing the same pain. The others echoed that same broken sorrow as well.
Anya looked up at Reaper. It was on his face. Her beautiful, scarred, damaged man was in the same pain the others were in. They shared it. She felt it, as if that pain tore them apart, shredded them, leaving them raw, leaving them all with a huge, gaping wound she knew would never be repaired. He would go with her. She had that power. But if he went, he would never be whole. He would never be Reaper. She had had glimpses into his past, the past he shared with every single one of these men and women. It was ugly, and it was brutal, but something beautiful had come out of it. They had created a tapestry together. Or rather, Zar had woven them together so they would be whole, so they could live. She saw that so clearly in their faces. More, she felt it.
Anya looked around the room. Most didn't meet her eyes, looking down when her gaze touched on them, ashamed, guilty. Absinthe shook his head and looked away, but she thought she caught the sheen of water in his eyes. Her breath caught in her lungs and stayed there. Without Reaper, they weren't whole. Without them, he would never be whole. Intact. The Reaper she'd fallen for. She saw each one of them look to Zar. She found herself doing so as well. She didn't know how to resolve the situation. She only knew that these broken, damaged individuals weren't quite so broken or damaged when they were together. Her eyes met Zar's.
"You see," he said quietly, "you're part of him now. That makes you part of us. You feel it, too. You know we need one another. We need you now, too."
"I don't want to be second."
"Does it feel that way to you, really?
Look around you."
He gestured around the room. "None of them are second. Does it feel as if Lana or Elena are second? They were with you, in that school. They were with you. I wasn't. We need light to keep us out of the dark. Blythe provides that. You do, too."
She liked that he said that he thought it, that he put her in the same category as his beloved wife. Anya had to find a way to make it right. For Reaper, because in the end, she wanted to be with him more than she wanted to hold on to her anger, justified as it was. She also wanted the family, as insane as they all were. She knew she was going to stay with them, and it made her crazy to think she had fallen for him that far.
"He's bossy. You're bossy. God!" She feigned exasperation with Zar, with Reaper, but felt it mostly with herself because she knew she couldn't take Reaper away from these people. He would go, but he would be a shadow of himself. She threw her hands into the air, pushed him aside, and stalked across the room to Lana. She held out her hand for the jacket. Lana looked up at her, searched her face carefully, and then smiled. Huge. She handed the jacket to Anya. Anya shook it out. On the back, it had stitching, beautiful patches that said, "Property of Torpedo Inc., Reaper." They couldn't have just gotten the patches. They had to be made up, and that took time. She whirled around to glare at Reaper. He had to have ordered the idiot thing.
"Property?"
She nearly screeched it. Are you kidding me?
Someone has to keep your sweet little ass in line, Reaper said. You've got a hell of a temper, woman. Pretending to agree with everyone and plotting in your fucked-up little mind doesn't get past me.
Property means you're protected by the club,
Lana whispered.
It doesn't mean he can order you around. Well, unless we're on a run.
Then it's best not to embarrass him in public because he's kind of mean.
I can see this is a bad, bad idea,
Anya said aloud. But there were some butterflies, wondering how long ago Reaper had sent away for the patches.
Too late, babe. You already said yes.
The others were gathering around Reaper, clapping him on the back. She heard Czar mutter something about a hellion, and Ice said he was glad they didn't have to kidnap her. She glared at him, about to ask questions, but then she caught sight of Absinthe. He hadn't moved. She took a deep breath. This one was for Reaper. If she was committing, she had to do it all the way and wipe the slate clean. She went straight to him. Immediately, a hush fell over the room. She didn't turn around because she didn't want to lose her courage.
Absinthe?
She held out her hand. Buy me a drink later and we'll call it good, okay? If you're going to be my brother, though, we're setting some ground rules. His smile was slow. It didn't reach his eyes. She couldn't imagine what it would be like to be him, to be any of them. Whatever talents they had, they'd all honed them to perfection in order to survive. Absinthe hated what he did, what he had to do for the others, but he did it.
No worries. It's strictly forbidden to use on one another. That means you now.
She smiled at him as he took her hand and shook it to seal the deal.
Now we need to get down to business, Czar said. We don't have a lot of time. Anya, can you reproduce the blueprints you saw?
Yes. I like to draw. I have an eye for detail, and I really thought the blueprints were cool. They were very old. I sketched various pieces on my sketchpad with the idea that I would paint it on canvas someday, or cover the walls of a room.
Your sketchpad?
She shrugged. What do you think I did all those nights sleeping in my car? I draw. It relaxes me. The sketchpad is in the back seat along with my clothes. She didn't have many clothes, but she had two sketchpads. Czar glanced at Transporter, who immediately left the room.
What else did you hear while you were down in that wine cellar? You didn't just hear them say they had someone by the balls, did you? Because that isn't worth killing over, even for that and the blueprints.
They were talking about the Diamondbacks, the motorcycle club, the MC's president's wife. They had information on her, where she worked. She runs out by the Mendocino Dam, that sort of thing.
I'll need to know every single word you can remember, Czar said. All business.
Anya nodded. She had a very good memory.
Chapter 12
Elena! Tom Randall waved and hurried toward her. Elena turned and sent him a high-wattage smile. She wore tight, pencil-thin jeans, ruffled leather boots with spike heels, and a form-fitting red top that hugged her curves. Her platinum hair was a fall of waves around her face. Red lips matched the blouse she wore, as well as the color on her long nails.
"Tom, how lovely to see you!"
The private investigator came right up to her, all smiles, clearly happy to see her. Elena reached out and touched his arm, ran her finger from shoulder to elbow, over his biceps. His head jerked up and he reached for her packages.
"I've been out shopping. I love to cook,"
Elena explained. "I don't know if you noticed, but that building on the main street just past the bar is going to be a small, intimate restaurant. All mine."
"That surprises me," Tom said. "A beautiful woman like you enjoys cooking?"
Elena hung on to her smile. It was rather insulting, the way he said it, as if, because she was beautiful, she might not have the brains to cook, or worse, that women who enjoyed cooking probably weren't good-looking.
"I love it. I cook for my brothers and sometimes all the others. I'm used to handling a large group, so
I think I'll be good cooking for strangers. Are you enjoying our little town?
Tom nodded, setting a slow pace so he had more time to spend alone with her.
It surprised me how nice it is here. The ocean is different.
Wild one minute and smooth as glass the next.
I thought you were staying in Fort Bragg, but here you are in our lovely Sea Haven.
Elena waved at Inez as she passed the woman on the opposite side of the street.
That's my car.
Do you have time for a cup of coffee?
Elena hesitated, looked conflicted as if no, she didn't have the time, but really wanted to be with him longer.
I have to get these groceries home. I'd love to have a cup of coffee and be able to talk a while. Do you have time to follow me to Casper? It isn't that far.
It was his turn to hesitate. She knew he wanted to talk, not just because she was an alluring woman, but because he wanted information on the club, specifically on Czar and Blythe. With his private investigation business, he was good at extracting the data he wanted from people, probably women. He was good-looking and knew it.
Elena laid her hand on his arm and dropped her voice low.
No one is around today.
Tom nodded, making up his mind, flashing her a smile.
I'll follow you. My car is just across the street.
Her smile jerked his head up again. It was so bright and happy. He strode across the street, and she glanced up toward the roof where Storm lay watching, his eye to the scope of a high-powered rifle. She sent him a quick smirk and a thumbs up. Thomas Randall wasn't going to be having nearly the pleasurable afternoon that he thought he was. Sliding behind the wheel of her classy little BMW, she drove straight back to the compound, Randall following. She led him through the parking lot, around behind the clubhouse building. The back of the compound was covered with trees and shadows. They had made certain no cameras were recording to catch glimpses of Randall's car turning into Casper and making his way to the Torpedo Inc. compound. There were two parking spots, both empty. Tom slid out of his car and went straight to her, taking the two bags of groceries.
Nice entrance.
Much more private. I don't disturb the club. I have a room and bathroom to myself, just off the kitchen. She unlocked the door with her key and, making a show of shielding the keypad, turned off the alarm system.
I wouldn't think a system like that would do much good with all the club members in and out of here,
Tom observed. She glanced at him over her shoulder.
This wing of the compound is entirely separate from the clubhouse. They can come and go, and I have no idea who is here and who's not. They don't have a clue if I'm home.
It looked like your brother kept close tabs on you, he pointed out, setting the groceries on the counter and looking around. The kitchen was very large, and all the appliances were commercial grade and stainless steel. She worked efficiently at putting the groceries away, including the ice cream, her reason for making certain she needed to go home immediately.
My brothers like to think they can rule my life, but they don't. They're good guys, and in the end, they want me happy. You want coffee or espresso? I can make a few drinks, but I'm no barista. I do have killer cookies to go with the coffee.
Coffee's good. He leaned over the counter, watching her work, mostly keeping his eyes glued to her ass, cupped lovingly in the jeans.
How'd your brothers get involved in the club? No one knows much about Torpedo Inc. or its members.
She shrugged and sent him another sweet smile over her shoulder.
We decided to settle here, but it's right in the middle of Diamondback territory. Czar immediately contacted the president of the Mendocino chapter to pay his respects and get permission for the club to reside here. They said yes, with the usual provisions, and here we are.
You've met the Diamondback president?
Tom sounded both intrigued and a little in awe.
You say Diamondback, and everyone immediately thinks criminals. Are they as bad as the press makes them out to be?
She shrugged. I wouldn't know. I stay out of club business. We go on runs with them sometimes, but that's all. We don't mix with them much.
You like the life?
Now he sounded genuinely interested.
Elena decided his expression and tone when he asked questions was what made him such a good private investigator. He could make casual conversation and sound as if every answer was important to him.
I was born into the club. I don't really know any other life.
She put his coffee in front of him, picked up the plate of cookies and her own mug of coffee.
Come on, I'll show you a phenomenal view. We'll take the shortcut. There's so many cool things about this building. There's a stairway that leads right to the cliffs. The smugglers used to bring their boats in close, and the owners of the building would go down the stairs straight to the cliffs above the cove. There are stairs carved into the cliffs leading down to the cove. Of course, no one uses them anymore, although they're surprisingly kept up.
She chattered away, giving out information a man like Randall would need to give to a hit team or just convey to his bosses at the Ghost Club. He followed her, once more enjoying the view of her swaying hips as she led the way through a door to a narrow stairway. The stairs were old, just as she'd said.
"You've never gone down to the cove?" he asked.
"My brothers would kill me.
I think they have, but they strictly forbid it. They said it was too dangerous."
It was a way into the compound, one a beautiful woman with no brain would never consider a danger to the club.
There she was, chatting away, giving out the kinds of information Randall wanted, without even batting her long lashes.
"But they've been down there?" she nodded.
"Yes, more than once. That's how I know you can still go down to the cove from up here. It doesn't seem like it because the first stair looks as if you're dropping off into space. It's crazy, and a little scary. I've never tried it because, honestly, it looks as dangerous as Storm said it was."
"Why is he called Storm?"
"Most road names are given over some incident, usually funny or unusual." She paused at the end of the stairway to wait for him.
"I forgot to tell you," she added, taking a sip of her coffee. "We have a thing about anyone prying into club business. You have to be careful."
He frowned. "Asking about his name is prying into club business?" She turned and walked deeper into the hallway.
"This leads back outside.
Cool, right? I don't know how many years it's been here, but I do know it's really old."
She kept chatting and then came to an abrupt stop again and turned and faced him.
"Want a cookie? They're so good. I'll hold your coffee for you."
"I'm good."
"No, really. Take the cookie, Tom.
You're going to wish you had."
He took a cookie and bit into it. He smiled at her.
"These are good. Best I've eaten."
She handed him the plate and took the coffee cup right out of his hand.
"Enjoy them."
Her gaze left him and lifted to the man behind him.
"Hey, Storm! Nice timing."
The smile faded as Tom looked behind him to see the big biker blocking his way back. When the private investigator turned back, Elena wasn't smiling at all.
"Tom, women aren't gullible, you know. Men are. Especially men like you. I don't like someone playing me. I don't give out information on my club. Not ever. I'm certain Storm and Ice will answer any questions you have."
Tom lunged at her, knowing he couldn't get past the big man blocking the hall behind him. Elena kicked him hard in the stomach, doubling him over. She put a hand on the back of his head.
"Honey, I grew up with 16 brothers and a kick-ass sister. You don't have a chance against me."
She turned and walked down the hall, not looking back once, not even when Tom shrieked loudly. Anya smiled at Bannister as she put the beer in front of him.
"You look tired tonight, Harry," she said, her voice gentle. She had gotten his given name out of him the second day she'd worked. No one else ever called the old biker by his given name. He was always Bannister.
"When was the last time you ate?"
He smiled back and patted her hand.
"Don't worry about an old coot like me. I always land on my feet. Got a son who can't seem to pull his life together. Sold just about everything I have to help him out. But it isn't enough. He wants me to sell my bike."
Anya gasped and shook her head. In the 6 weeks she'd been bartending, Bannister had come in every day and sat on the stool, nursing a few beers. The only time he became animated was when he spoke about his Harley. He once told her if a man treated his woman as good as he did his bike, there would never be a divorce. She had laughed, but
She could see he'd meant it. "You can't sell your bike, Bannister," she said adamantly. "He doesn't know you very well if he asked you to do that. He's paying off a gambling debt. Swears he quit gambling, but the principal is never actually paid, only the interest." He rubbed his beard. "I swore the last time, when he took everything, including the house, I wouldn't help him again. But he's my only son, and I don't want to lose him." Anya patted his hand, served two other customers, and filled Heidi's orders for three tables before returning to him. She kept her eye on the door, although Reaper had told her to act normal. He wasn't happy with her being the bait, but if Elena and Lana could go to the Ghost Club and try to get information, she felt the least she could do was bartend as she usually did. Reaper sat in the darkest corner of the room, in the shadows. He seemed to disappear, until he was a mere blur, one almost impossible to notice unless you looked for him. Heidi had been told to stay away from his table. There were a few tables ringing the dance floor. Because the floor wasn't in use, it wasn't lit, so it was fairly dark. Savage sat in one of the chairs, looking like a lazy tiger. He was a lot like his brother, in that he was big and had defined muscles, but the resemblance stopped there. Anya knew there was only a 2-year difference, but still, he looked quite a few years younger. He didn't have the scars on his face that Reaper did, but she knew the scars were there. They ran deep inside him. Heidi didn't go near his table either. "You ever think that no matter how often you bail your son out, he's just going to keep gambling?" Anya asked. "Gambling is just as addicting as drugs to some people. They can't stay away."
"What if they kill him because he can't pay off the debt?"
Bannister ran a hand down his face as if wiping away his tears when there weren't any. "I'm an old, used-up man," he declared. "Not much to lose. But he's young yet. He could have a life." Everyone had a story, she realized, some far worse than others. She liked Bannister. She liked most of those coming into the bar. Most, like Bannister, were bikers. On the weekdays, more locals came in. Mostly, she was sure to check the place out.
"You have a life, Bannister," she objected. "You aren't so old that you can't find a lady who would be crazy about you and want to spend her time on the back of your bike and in your bed. Don't give up on life. You just aren't that old."
Out of the corner of her eye, she caught sight of the Burroughs brothers entering. They slipped inside, didn't even glance her way, but went straight to the table directly across the room from the bar. They would be able to watch her every move. She wiped down the bar for the millionth time, made three more drinks, and popped the caps off four beers before she went back to Bannister, leaning in close to him.
"Busier than normal for a Tuesday night," she observed.
"Who knew the bar would take off like it did? Preacher was grumbling about having to work so much."
"Heard they were thinking about putting in pool tables,"
she nodded. "Working with the planning commission over here on the coast is difficult, especially if the buildings are in any way considered historical. They don't want you changing a thing. Czar came up with some solution, adding a second building, a small one just for the pool hall. It's kind of crazy, but it would look exactly like this building, so it would blend. They'd put in a large archway so it looked as if it was all one room, when it really is a separate building. I don't know how they're going to pull it off, but when he and Absinthe went before the board, they came back with the permits."
Heidi was taking orders from the Burroughs brothers. Anya wasn't surprised they ordered beer. She knew they wouldn't drink more than that. She tried not to let her gaze stray in their direction. It helped that her favorite customer was distressed. She kept trying to think of a solution for him other than selling his beloved Harley. She knew he kept it in excellent condition. It was a much older bike, but ran like one of the newer ones. The door opened again, and two men walked through the door. She stiffened. She couldn't help it. One was in a sheriff's uniform, the other street clothes, but she knew immediately he was a cop as well. She stepped to the other side of the bar when they beckoned her. The taller of the two gave her a smile. A shark. A really intelligent shark, was her assessment.
"What can I do for you?"
"I'm Jonas Harrington," the tall one said. He flashed his badge at her.
Czar around? I'm sorry, he's not here right now. If you need him, I could maybe get through to him on the phone, she offered.